What a great opportunity to celebrate the fact that Jesus did not stay dead, but he is alive. And the Easter message, to be honest, isn't that complicated. It's not great theological truth that you have to spend years and years understanding, though you can. The Easter message is very simple. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. The truth that Jesus took all of your rubbish on Good Friday, but he didn't stay dead. He rose again triumphant because death could not hold him. Your Redeemer lives. The Easter message isn't hugely complicated, but it transforms the world. It transforms the world. If we could have the thing up, please. Yes, let's bring it up. Over the last few weeks, the title of the series that we've been looking at over the last few talks has been Easter, the week that changed everything. And it culminates after we have Good Friday. And thank you for those of you who are part of what was a really powerful service on Friday here as we marked that. We move through Good Friday as we come before the cross, full of all of our rubbish. We lay it there and we move through that to the Sunday that changes everything. I'm a sucker for an underdog story. So when it comes to choosing a film, I love the ones, I'm sure you can relate to, you know, the ones where all the odds are stacked against him. You know, like Rocky, or what are the other ones where it's like Cool Runnings, where the Jamaican bobsleigh team and the Jamaicans go and they take part in a sport that no one's ever heard of in Jamaica. I love a good underdog story. And I suppose that might be why I love Easter so much. Because for me, Easter is, there's an essence of the great underdog story. On the one hand, you have got all of the odds stacked against Jesus. You come to Friday and we saw being acted out the story of Jesus being betrayed. On the one hand, you've got the corrupt disciple. You've got the might of the Sanhedrin and the religious leaders. You have the most powerful army on the face of the earth at that time, the most powerful empire in the form of the Romans. You have all of these people up against Jesus, and the odds are completely stacked against him. It is the great underdog story that we come before Good Friday and we look at that cross and we see Jesus hanging there and we just think it's so unfair. We just think that he didn't stand a chance. His own friends turned against him. The might of the Roman Empire was against him. The Jewish leaders were against him. He didn't stand a chance. And we see Jesus, God with flesh on, hanging there, alone, naked, hurting, and losing. That's where we get up to on Good Friday. That's why I love Easter. Because the message of Easter is that he did not lose. The message of Easter is that despite the fact the odds were so stacked against him, despite the fact all of the powers at their disposal were fighting against Jesus, despite the fact that not only the empire, but my sin, darkness itself, was conspiring to put Jesus on a cross, despite all of that, he still wins. Despite all of that, Sunday comes. Despite the odds being so stacked against him, Jesus overcomes. Death could not hold him. The powers of sin couldn't stop him. That love does overcome fear. That even when it looks like he doesn't stand a chance, the tomb's empty on Sunday. Jesus doesn't lose. God doesn't lose. It just looks like he was. But on Sunday we see that God does win. That God does overcome. So what does that mean for you? This morning I just want to look at three things. As I said, the message of Easter isn't that complicated. But the way it affects the rest of your life, it changes everything. It changes everything. You can talk for hours, you can hear hours of sermons about how that day, 2,000 years ago, changes the rest of your life. I'm going to look at just three this morning. Three things. What does Easter Sunday mean for you this morning as you sit here today? Well, firstly, you don't have to wear the grave clothes anymore. There's a fantastic bit in the passage that we heard, and one of the girls asked the question, what did Jesus leave in the tomb? And there's a great bit in the story where Peter, who, to be honest, in all the Gospels, is one of my favourite characters. I really like Peter because he's a bit like me. He's like overly enthusiastic, but often gets it wrong. He's like, you know, one of those characters that's just so keen to do anything. And you're like, Peter, why on earth did you do that? I relate to Peter. For those of you that know me will know mine. But anyway, he's one of my favourite characters. And Peter hears that Jesus isn't in the tomb anymore. And being Peter, he thinks, well, I'm going to find out for myself. And he rushes to the tomb and he's like, I'm going to see what's going on. So Peter rushes to the tomb and he pushes the people out of the way and he wants to get there. And he gets there and he saw the linen clothes by themselves. Little line in one of the Gospels. And he saw the linen clothes by themselves. This thing, you can imagine Jesus rising triumphant and he's got all these grave clothes on. Can imagine Jesus being like, don't need these anymore. Cast them off. And he leaves them in the tomb. I think, as a Christian, too often I still wear the grave clothes. Too often I let things of death cling to me. Jesus knows he doesn't need to wear those grave clothes anymore. He has overcome death. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? Because our Redeemer has risen. And as Jesus rises, he knows he doesn't need to carry these grave clothes anymore. This morning, you can know that because of Easter Sunday, you don't have to carry the things of death around with you anymore. You don't have to carry the things of death around with you anymore. For us, those things will be different. For some people, that's addictions, things that smell of death. For some people, it's the way that their mouth works, that they're always tearing other people down. That's a thing that just looks like death. For some people, it's a string of negativity. It looks like death. For some people, it's depression. It just looks like death. And I can tell you that because of Easter Sunday, you don't have to wear the grave clothes anymore. You don't have to carry around those things of death because Jesus has risen. He has overcome death, so you can leave them in the grave where they belong. Because Jesus is alive. There's a story told that Abraham Lincoln wrote a proclamation. It was, for those of you who know your history, 1862 apparently. And it was declaring that all the slaves were free. There was no more slavery in America. Fantastic day as Abraham Lincoln signs this. And he signs that it comes into effect on the 1st of January, 1863. And from that moment on, everyone in America who was previously a slave was free. And half of them didn't know it. And there were these people that for the next weeks and months, they still acted like slaves. Because they didn't know any different. No one had told them that they were free. From the 1st of January on that year, legally, they were clear. They could act how they wanted. They were no longer in bondage. Their freedom had been signed, but no one had told them, so they didn't know it. So they kept on acting like they were slaves. They kept acting like they were in submission. They kept acting like they were in bondage. And only when people got to those towns and those villages in the southern states, showing them the declaration that had been signed by Abraham Lincoln. And they just said, guys, you are free. You've been free for ages. You just didn't know it. So you don't have to act like that anymore. You don't have to act like you're a slave anymore because your freedom has been signed. You can know that your freedom has been bought. That God paid the price for your freedom. You do not have to wear the grave clothes anymore. Haven't you heard the good news that you are free? Haven't you heard the good news that you are free? You don't have to wear the grave clothes anymore. And you don't need to keep on mourning. Don't have to keep on mourning. I find Easter, as I'm sure a lot of you do, when you come to Good Friday, it's an emotional experience. I was sitting through that service on Good Friday at 10 o'clock and I was like on the verge of tears through most of it. It was just very powerful. like spending time looking at the cross. And it was, I mean, I know 2 weeks ago I kind of preached my Good Friday sermon. And I had this realization that it was me who did it. I was the one who put Jesus on the cross. I was the one who nailed his hands into those beams. I got that revelation. I think we all go through that point at some point in our lives, don't we? You realize that all the stuff, the rubbish that you see out there in the world, to some extent you see in yourself. Do you all have that revelation? That for all our criticism of the violence and the anarchy and the hopelessness that we see in the world, there's that moment where we see it in ourselves too. We realise that the problem isn't just out there with those people in that country and those leaders. We realise that the problem is in here with my soul and my actions and my responsibilities. I find that on Good Friday. I had that revelation that it was my sin that held him there. But I tell you what, you don't have to live there. That is a good place to go through. I would say that that revelation that the things that are wrong in the world are also inside you, that revelation is like a tunnel. It's like the Channel Tunnel. That is a fine place to go through, but you certainly don't want to live there. You don't want to live there. It's a rubbish place to live. There's not even a co-op or anything. It's just depressing. It's dark. It's like you need to go through that, but you don't need to live there anymore. We need to go through Good Friday. We need to understand that the rubbish in the world is to some extent correlated to the rubbish in our own lives. We need to go through that, which is why I preached it 2 weeks ago, which is why we had our Good Friday service. But because of Easter Sunday, you do not need to live there anymore. Because of Easter Sunday, you do not need to mourn anymore. There's that great passage where the women are coming to see Jesus, and they've got their perfumes, they've got their embalming fluids. And they want to go and mourn. They want to wear the black. They want to put the ash on their heads. They want to mourn the loss of their friends. And then it says that having encountered the angel, they leave the tomb quickly with fear and with great joy. Because Easter Sunday means that you do not have to live under the depression of your own guilt anymore. That yes, we can acknowledge we have made mistakes. All of us had. We all did it. We all shouted, "Crucify him." We all nailed him to that cross. But because of Easter Sunday, we don't have to live there anymore. A few years ago, someone put it to me like this. Like, you are guilty of killing Jesus. You are. As I say, that's a revelation we all get at some point. We go through that tunnel. We are guilty of killing Jesus. But you imagine the courtroom scene as we stand on trial for killing Jesus. That is our crime as individuals, as humanity. You stand there in the dock. Sometimes it helps me to imagine it. I'm there. I'm in the dock. I killed Jesus. The evidence comes before me. All the rubbish I've ever done in my life that put Jesus to death. And I'm ashamed and I stand there with my head hung down. And I know it was me who killed Jesus. And then at that moment, your defence barrister walks in. And it's him. Your defence barrister walks in, and it's Jesus. Because he is the one who pleads our case. It says in the scriptures that he is our intercessor. Your defence barrister is the very guy you're on trial for killing. And let me tell you that you can't be found guilty of killing a man who's alive. You can't be found guilty. So you're in the dock and you know that you're guilty and you go through that process. But Easter Sunday means that you don't have to mourn anymore. That you don't have to carry that guilt anymore. Because he lives. Because my Redeemer lives. I am not guilty. This morning, I hope you know that you don't have to carry the grave clothes anymore. Because of Easter Sunday. I hope you know that you don't have to live in a place of guilt anymore because of Easter Sunday. And finally, I want you to know that because of Easter Sunday, the temple is torn into. There's this incredible thing that happens as Jesus is hanging on the cross. Could we have a couple of slides, Jeff? Oh no, I've got one of these, sorry.
There's the grave clothes. I completely forgot. There's the grave clothes.
There's the fact that you don't have to mourn anymore. And then the temple curtain is torn in two from top to bottom. I'm sure many of you will know this already, that this curtain is a hefty piece of material. And that the job of this curtain, again, as I'm sure many of you will know, is to keep the unholy people out of where God is. Because God is far too holy. So we need a big curtain to keep everyone out. And as Jesus dies on Good Friday, the temple is torn in two from top to bottom. I think that means two things for us. I think it means that you can enter God's presence as you are. You don't have to pretend you're something you're not. You don't have to pretend you've got it all together. You don't have to go through the ceremonial rites anymore. You can get in as you are. You're very welcome. I was reading a great story yesterday about a revival that broke out in Northern California. Some of you may have heard of it. It was called the Jesus Movement. The Jesus Movement in Northern California. And there were these churches that were filled with hippies coming in off the street. Half of them were still smoking drugs. They came in off the beaches by their thousands because they heard about this guy called Jesus who could set them free. And the church, I was reading this story, someone had put up in a sign in the church that said, "Absolutely no bare feet here." The pastor came in and he absolutely flipped out. He like smashed the sign to pieces. He's like, "Don't you dare tell people they aren't welcome in this church. You come as you are. You come as you are." And that same message that the pastor said about that church is the same message God gives us about his presence. Guys, you come as you are. You don't need to put shoes on. You don't need to dress up a certain. You come exactly as you are. Because the temple has been torn in two from top to bottom. You don't have to go through the rites. Exactly as you are here this morning, God looks at you and he sees the righteousness of Christ. He sees you as perfect. Which is why I read that passage out at the start. He sees you as perfect. He's not making allowances for your sin. He covered them at the cross. It's not that Jesus is turning a blind eye to your mistake, saying, "Oh, it doesn't matter." No, it mattered. It put him on the cross. But you get Jesus' righteousness. The sin that you committed cost him everything, but you get the free gift. That right now, as you are, God sees you as perfect. It means that we can come into the Holy of Holies. And the other thing that torn curtain means is that God gets let out. That God is on the move. The curtain doesn't just allow us in. The curtain lets God out. God is on the move. God is no longer just for a certain group of people at a certain time. God's everywhere. The whole world is full of his glory. The earth is his footstool, as the scriptures say. The world is drenched in the presence of God. Whether that's a bus stop, whether that's in your kitchen, whether that's in a pub, whether that's in church, you can encounter God now. I was reading the last few chapters of the Gospels this week as I was preparing, and I loved what Jesus does. He comes and he has just overcome all of death. And one of the first times he sees his disciples, he cooks them breakfast by the beach. He just meets them where they're at. You don't have to come to the Holy of Holies anymore. I'll tell you what, you can meet God incarnate by the beach having breakfast. Isn't that good? This week you can meet God by the beach having breakfast. You can meet God around a dinner table. That's what the resurrected Jesus says. Jesus comes in when they're all scared in an upper room and they've locked the doors and Jesus comes in. You can meet God when you're scared. You can meet God when you're not at your best. You can meet God first thing in the morning. Because the temple's been torn in two. You, as you are seen as perfect by God. You're welcome. And God is on the move. There are so many more things that Easter Sunday means for us. Next week, we're going to be continuing to look at this. What does Easter Sunday mean for us? But those are the three things I wanted to mention to you today. You don't have to wear the grave clothes. You don't have to mourn. And you can know that you are perfect as you are, as God is on the move. Let's pray together, shall we? God, this morning, we accept your free gift. And we just say thank you. We thank you that you bought us our freedom. And I thank you that we don't have to mourn anymore. Jesus, I thank you that you are alive, that you are at work, and that because you live, we are not guilty. Because you live, we can have peace. Because you live, we can have a hope and a future. Because you live, we can have a relationship with the God who created the universe. And this morning, we just want to receive that. We want to say thank you for that. And again, we want to commit ourselves. We want to commit ourselves to you, God. The God who loves us so, so much.